the sense, or you know, what's going to happen in 3 years or 10 years?
I understand they give you a formula. I'm just trying to figure out the differences.
I think the big question is, how did you derive your NOI versus, we know how he did because he's shown his, but the NOI on your side, where, like this 317 number, where did that come from?
The 317 is by taking 10% off of the 373,739. And
yeah,
5% off.
I get that. Where did we get the 373 number? Well, the PGI that you have at the top, the 393,410, that's where it all... That, you said that you got that number from Tim?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm using his number to begin with because that takes into account... He's just saying that's all his rental income.
Right.
And again, then we're taking off 5% for vacancy, which while I was there, I saw there was a... spot that was empty, so that should come off.
Tim, where do you perceive the major differences then?
Not recognized. Susan's approach just assumes that costs are percentages. Susan's approach starts with the hard rent and can number, the 393,410 number, and then deducts certain percentages. Certain percentages for costs. Deducts 5% for vacancies and collection costs. Deducts maybe 10% for operating expenses. Deducts a certain amount percentage for insurance, having no knowledge of what those actual costs are. I'm saying that percentage calculation's way off, because this is a hard number. When I put down utilities and operating costs, the 158,954. That's a hard number. That's what we actually spend out of our bank account. And then the projected maintenance costs, that's a below market projection for what it will cost per square foot to maintain the building.
I'm sorry, can you repeat your utilities number to me again?
Yeah.
You just said it on that one right there.
This was utilities and operating costs. So this includes the management fee. It includes the insurance on the building. It includes people to pick up the trash.
And it's $158,000.
Yeah.
So that's a big disconnect from utilities that she's taking off at $20,000. You see, that's where the difference is. There's a $100,000 difference there.
Yeah. Some of the chief components of that difference will be the administrative costs, so the property management fee for the year of $21,319. The insurance for the year of $16,707, leasing commissions for $15,438, other administrative expenses for running of $17,938. If you add those into together, that'll make up a lot of.
I understand you're going to follow. Do you have any comments?
That Susan's not.
Seems to me like the main thing is the cap rate. Hers is lower than yours.
Yes, the cap rate makes a big difference. Whether you use 8.3%, which I think is not realistic, or whether you use...
Okay, and you've heard her comments on the cap rate. Where's the disconnect there in your mind?
Oh, because it's not at all...
But does the manuals talk about how you determine the interest rate provided on a marketing return on investment? In other words, is that the wild card in the cap rate that...
That's exactly right. That piece is the wild card. So the everything else, so, the recapture rate and the effective property tax, those are fixed. Those are just known.
Okay, so, I mean, and I'm going to ask the assessor, it sounds, I mean, I think that the argument sounds pretty reasonable when you're talking about a rate of return. Why would you do this if it's going to be 4.1, which is what he's coming out with?
But if you look at it from the standpoint of what you've got there and a common sense approach, the building itself, when you look at that and its location, at $2.877 million, am I overvaluing it? And again, using his numbers and... The State Tax Commission, the numbers that we use, especially to get to the NOI, again, that's kind of to equalize it among everybody. Just like when we do the hotel motels, I give an automatic 10% off for FF&E, just regardless. We just take that off for all of them. It's not, you know, as you know, one may have paid more than the other, but this is a standard with the assessors that that's how we do it. And this gives us, as we go across the county, if people give us their numbers, we should come up with comparable, equalized numbers with the other shopping malls.
Okay, but in your manual, when you're determining that interest rate provided on a market return or investment as part of your cap rate calculation, how do you come up with that number?
With my cap rate?
How do you come up with a cap rate number?
Sometimes we get our numbers from CoStar, but in this case...
CoStar being what?
CoStar is a paid service that you can get cap rates from for the area.
Okay.
But on this one, Tim was there with me, and we just went on LoopNet, and we were looking down and at the cap rates close by this. And the one we found was 7.49. And so together we worked on this. And the quibble with him was he didn't want me to subtract out the effective tax rate. He wanted me to add it on top. But again, if the cap rate is on the internet being advertised for sale, that's going to be a loaded cap rate. And mine had to take it off. But then again, we added the 2.5% for the recapture, which brought us in, like I said, at 8.33.
So you're saying the assessor's manual does not tell you to add it. It tells you to subtract the effective cap rate or the effective property tax rate?
Right, because I'm supposed to use an unloaded cap rate. And so, again, anything that you're going to find when a realtor is putting a property out there, they're going to give the effective tax rate or the cap rate that they find that has the effective tax rate added in, which is called a loaded cap. And I'm supposed to take that part out because, again, the assessor's office can't value taxes into a building. We have to look at it without taxes, without mortgages, without amortization interest.
Because she's saying that her manual requires her to take that effective property tax rate out?
No, the formula I've shown you here is correct. If I may present you the manual, it's on page 99 of the manual. It tells you exactly what formula to use. Because you can you had these three components, and that will give you your capitalization rate.
But you're assuming I'm starting with an unloaded cap rate. That's why you're adding it on here. But I am starting with a loaded, and I have to take it out.
I'm not following. I mean, I think, isn't there just a calculation on how to come up with a cap rate?
Yep, that's all there is. I'm not sure what loaded or unloaded means. I know that investors don't know what the words loaded and unloaded mean. Investors look and say, what kind of rate of return am I going to get if I put my money in?
Okay.
And what are my alternatives?
I'm trying to read up on this.
I think today the problem is commercial real estate's not moving because everything works out fine until they call the bank. Say, how much is my financing going to cost? And we tell them that, and they say, well, just throw that away. You know,
yes. I had a deal go south this morning. The call we were working with a private equity firm. He says, what's the interest rate going to be? All right, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be so, because the interest rate was
right. Four percent is the kind of like the risk-free cost of capital, okay? A year ago, that was 25 basis points.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay, so what's your, I mean, we've got a cap rate difference here, and what do you think is the, would be the cap on the cap rate on this one?
Was it like 10 and a quarter and 8.5 or something?
Yeah.
Something in between there.
Because if you go below 10 and a quarter, because keep in mind the capitalization rate includes the recapture rate plus the effective property tax.
Yeah.
So if you go below 10 and a quarter, that means the guy is going to be earning less than 6% rate of return off the investment, which I'm saying no possible way, because you can buy investment grade bonds that are yielding 5.75% for a 20-year term. So going below 10.25, even 10, nobody's going to make this investment if this cap rate is 10.
Yeah. Now, if the net operating income was, was different, then maybe it would make sense.
In other words, we don't know what they charge. We don't know how much they're increasing their rental rates. We don't know any of that data.
He was anticipating that in his calculations, mm-hmm. I believe. But, yes, I mean, he's admitted that the State Tax Commission doesn't take those things into account when they give you this form. So,
could I address a couple of things? Because I do the same stuff.
Sure.
I'm also trained in financial analysis, and so the loaded version, this is always going to be an argument everywhere in the entire country. That part's not at issue. The LoopNet thing's a little bit of a problem, because that's asking prices, and I can ask $4 million and only be worth $2 all the time. But we'll leave that alone, because you can also look at sales. LoopNet will be an unloaded cap rate. So all those that you looked up were unloaded. We don't, because the next buyer will not have the same interest rate and the same mortgage and the same, they may have the same expenses. They won't have the same other parts of it. So we don't load those in when we put them in LoopNet, just for a matter for you for the future. But then I also have the issue of part of the problem is it's not a 39,000 square foot strip center. It's a 19,000 square foot strip center with a basement. The basement gets virtually no rent in comparison to anything else in town. I mean, at one point I was giving it to Jesus Was Homeless free. We have two tenants down there that pay zero rent and common area maintenance costs only. Just because I had to get rid of it. It sat empty for 20 years. So that's part of it. If I look at comparable shopping centers on 76 that don't have a basement, they're averaging $74 a square foot on their taxes, I mean on their value. If we look at this one, it's $74 a square foot, but it's on both levels. Okay. Now, I don't know how to do the math to fix that, because I don't know what the rules are. But that's what I was worried about, too.
Thank you.
All right.
Can you ask the gentleman to state his name and what his credentials are?
Sorry, I'm Bob Hules. I'm a commercial real estate broker and trained in financial analysis and financial planning only for real estate. That's all I do. No residential, nothing else.
I'm sorry, I knew who he was. So.
Yeah, and I just assumed everybody did. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, people are listening and they don't know. I mean, I knew who you were.
No, I think that's. I think
they're
going to
wonder
good point.
What's going on. One thing I do want to say, it really doesn't matter what they say they charge downstairs versus upstairs on this, because Mr. Davis gave me his whole, PGI. He gave me that number. That's where I started from. Mm-hmm. So that is what it is.
Okay, Tim, what's your proposed value?
I'd be happy with 1.9.
Oh. Well, the value right now is at
2.877072.
So using Bob's approach at $74 a square foot for the upstairs, if I valued the downstairs at $30 a square foot, puts it at a valuation of 2.043100. So it's right at that 2.1 mark if you were to use that type of a square footage approach.
We've got some discrepancy here on the net operating income a little bit, and then obviously if we talked about the cap rate, so we're blue in the face. As to what cap rate would be appropriate, I do think that the basement definitely drags the value down on this property. I do think that the cap rate